The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, and if you notice, I always kind of read out of the old King James Version. And the reason for it's not because I'm 64 years old at the time of this preaching. It's because I love the old King James because it's poetical. I remember scripture a lot easier than I do in the Amplified, even though I have many different translations. I just like the old King James. It says, now faith is. Look at your Bible. It says now. Now, now is a three-letter word simply because, and yet it's the most important word in that verse because it's telling you when faith works. I want you to see that. It says now faith is. It's not tomorrow. It's not next week. It's a now thing. Now, let me say this. Faith has the ability to create a future. It will do that, but it was made for the now. Because God understands people. They always want something now. Which is nothing wrong with that. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. So now faith and hope are together. Things is in there. Things. Everybody say things. Things. Church where everybody freaks out over things. I'm saying this as a prelude to the sermon here. They freak out over things. They don't mind. The church don't mind owning things and having things. They don't want you to have things. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. They believe in poverty only for you, not for them. Think about that for a minute. You see what I'm saying? And it's totally wrong because poverty is a curse. And prosperity is a blessing. Now, do some people do some wrong things with prosperity? Yes. But some people do some wrong things with poverty too. But you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence, if you want to know if it's right, the evidence of things not seen. Now, let me explain that. If you're believing God for something and you can't see it, you got it. Why? Because the evidence is not seen. Now, the minute it becomes seen, it's no longer faith. It's manifestation. And people need to understand that. So when somebody's saying, bless God, I got it. I know what most religious people say, he did lying. You know, he's speaking the truth. He or she is speaking the truth because the evidence of it is not seen. There's a lot of things we use that are not seen. For example, breathe. You just breathe something you couldn't see. Now, why would you argue with faith that you can't see? People say, I see the wind. No, you don't see the wind. No one's ever, ever seen the wind. You see the effects of the wind, the tree moving. You see what I'm saying? Just the effects of it. You hadn't seen it because it's invisible. You understand what I'm saying? Now, this is just a little prelude here before I get into this. I want you to see this. And I've been waiting quite a while, 3 weeks here, to get this over to you to set and establish what we're going to believe for all this year to all my partners and all the people that literally help us preach this gospel all over the world. Today, we would be touching 2.9 billion people. Amen. Give Jesus a hand clap. The reason we're doing it now is because we believed by faith. Think about that. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, I have preached on this passage of scripture so many times, I don't know how many times. But something struck me in just almost close to New Year's Eve before we went into 2014. He says, for by it, the elders obtained a good report. And those three words, for by it, struck me. So the title of my message this morning is, if you don't know what it is, you won't get it. If you don't know what it is, you won't get it. Just literally that simple. You'll have many opportunities to fail in life. Just don't take any. You understand what I'm saying? There will be things that will rise up against you, but no weapon formed against you is going to prosper. It didn't say the weapon wouldn't be formed. It says no weapon that is formed. It means it's formed. You see it. But the Bible said it wouldn't prosper. Notice that. So a lot of people, they think, well, my Lord, you know, I thought we ain't nothing supposed to go wrong. No, I didn't say that. Things will go wrong. You just make them right. You do that by changing it yourself, not waiting for God to do it. And I'm going to deal with that in a few minutes. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. So somebody is writing a report on you right now as I speak. You will stand before God whether you believe in it or not. I had an atheist tell me, I don't believe in God. I said, that don't change it. It don't make no difference whether you believe in it or not. It's still going to happen. You get out on Highway 310 and the state troopers are out there, bless God, with the cameras on, and they're supposed to go 60 miles an hour, and you're driving 70, 75, 78, you're going to get a revelation. And it'd be kind of stupid if you told that trooper, but I don't believe in that speed limit. He said, well, let me give you something you can believe in. See what I'm saying? It doesn't make any difference whether you believe it or not. It's just still the truth. And the truth will set you
free.
Right, free. For by it. So I want to deal with that. If you don't know what it is, you won't get it. And I should do this in 4 Sundays. I should do it in 4 hours. But my schedule just keeps me. So I'm going to try to squeeze this as much as I possibly can. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. Now, write this down if you're taking notes. The power of personal faith. Say personal faith. The power of personal faith is undeniable. It changes you and everything around you. Your personal faith will change you and everything around you. I use my personal faith every day of my life to not only change me, but change the people that are around me. When I'm in a hospital, I go down there and my personal faith changes the environment. Because they heard a report that you're not going to make it. But the Bible said, whose report shall you believe? But I'm going to believe the report of the Lord, and my personal report and God's personal report are one and the same. Do you get that? So let me say it again if you're writing it down. The power of personal faith is undeniable. It changes you and everything around you. Everything. Everything you do in life will be changed by faith. Everything we've ever done in life was done by faith. Every time you get behind the wheel of a car, you're driving it by faith because it could quit on you. Every time you turn the light on, somebody had faith that they could build a light bulb and it came on. Somebody said they couldn't do it, but they said they could. See what personal faith does? It changes you and everything else around you. Write this down. If it wouldn't be for faith, then relationship. If it wouldn't be for faith, then relationship. Hope. And love would not exist. See, without faith, you have no relationship. You have no hope, and love would not exist. You don't have a good marriage unless you have faith in each other. Think about that for a minute. If faith didn't work, bless God, if faith wasn't there, you wouldn't walk out the house. You'd scare your wife and run around on you, or vice versa. You got to have faith that she loves you. Am I telling the truth here? Let me say it again. If it wouldn't be for faith, then relationship, hope, and love wouldn't exist. What I'm saying is nothing of true value would exist at all. You can't get what you need on your own. I don't care who you are. You cannot get what you need on your own. You've got to use faith for by it. So if you don't understand it, you will never get it. Do you see that? Because you can't get it all on your own. See, your relationship, your hope, and your love is defined by the faith you have toward that woman, and that woman has towards you. Towards your job, and your job has towards you. Everything you do, towards your car, and your car towards you. Everything. No, it's interconnected. You cannot get around faith. And yet so many people say, I don't want to hear that faith stuff. Then you just might as well die, because the only people not using faith anymore are dead people. And they ain't saying nothing. And they're rotten to the core. You understand what I'm saying? So, Bob, I'm going to believe God for God to give you new eyeballs. If he gave you the first ones, he can give you some second ones. Yeah. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Come on. I've been thinking about that all week long. Glory to God. You understand what I'm saying? Oh, now don't, watch it. Don't give them no false hope. Ain't no such thing as false hope. Hope's good. Now, don't let nobody lie to you. All you people watching are beat up and busted. You don't have no finance. They just tell you you'll never get out. Yes, you can get out. You're more than an American. You are born again, Bible believing, thumping, preaching person that knows God's word. If you believe his word, do his word, you'll get his word. Don't listen to them fools. Don't listen to ignorance. All it is ignorance going to seed. So let me say it again. This would, my God, I could say it in tongues much easier. If it wouldn't be for faith, then relationship, hope, and love wouldn't exist. Nothing of true value would exist at all. You can't get what you need on your own. Write this down. Your life and my life is made by revelation. Now, I'm going to go over these, so if you missed it, I'll come back and do it. Your life and my life is made by revelation. All you need is faith for today. Look at me. All you need is faith for today. Forget about tomorrow. Because faith is in the now. Let me just say this. Tomorrow has enough trouble of its own. Use your faith for today. And when tomorrow turns into day, use your faith for today. You understand what I'm saying? Forget about tomorrow. Forget about next week. Forget about all that junk. Bless God, you are walking in the now, and you know in whom you have believed, and you're persuaded that he's able to keep what you commit to him against that day. Did you see that? Are you understanding what I'm saying? Now, I'm talking fast because I got a lot to cover here. But when you understand that, I ought to preach at the Believers' Convention. That way I got 5 days to get through it. But if you understand it, let me say, your life and my life is made by revelation. I get a revelation every day in my life. Spiritual, physical, and financial. Every day I open my wallet, something's gone. That's a revelation. Kathy been visiting my wallet. Or I visit hers. You understand what I'm saying? I tell her, I said, why don't you go ahead and pay for that? And she gets mad at me because, see, I said, every time I break $100 bill, I don't see it no more. She said, well, break your own. I don't want to break mine no more. You're always using mine. Glory to God. Your life and my life is made by revelation. All you need is faith for today. Tomorrow has enough trouble of its own. You understand what I'm saying? So I just use my faith for today. I just use my faith for today. Now, I don't know if I'm going to mess up my TV crew, but I want one of them cameras to come up here. Roll me a camera up here. One with the 25 power lens be fine or whatever. Get it up here quickly. You heard me, Jules? Move. Come on. Hallelujah. They're running like crazy right now. No matter what. Boss is talking. Oh, there you are. Come here, Jennifer. Somebody help me. Bring your thing. I want to show you something here. Now, what does personal faith do? It changes you. What you're seeing here. You know how long I had to believe. I believe in God for this and believe in God for this to run it. Because you see, this don't run by itself. Got to have somebody like Jennifer to run it. You understand that? Know something. Now, I want everybody to look at this. Get a shot of this if you can. You see this? This is $100,000 right here. This is $40,000 right here. It's $250,000. You're looking at a lot of money right here. Now, when I wanted HD cameras, the first person in the United States of America as a preacher that got this was Jesse Duplantis and Joel Osteen. We were the first ones. Okay. Now, this is several years ago. Do you know how much faith it took? I believe my faith every day. I didn't say it's coming. Oh, Lord, I said every day I have it. Every day, my Lord, I'm going to have me this thing so because they can squeeze me and get me in there. They can suck the fly off the wall at 100 yards. Boom, just pull it in. Glory to God. The NFL asked one time, called and asked if they could use these cameras to shoot the Super Bowl. This was years ago. I said, yo, mama, you ain't using my camera. I don't want nobody running into them cameras because them guys are big enough to break everything they can see. But you see, everybody said you can't get that. Why don't you get one of them little smaller kind? Nothing wrong with them. But you see, I shooting satellites all over the world right now, even as I'm speaking. And I need this kind of power, not to show off. It took faith, personal faith, believing faith, not tomorrow faith. Now faith is for by it. Now look at this. For by it, the world is watching Jesse the Planet even as he's preaching now. Somebody shout somebody. Thank you, Jennifer. Do you see what I'm saying? Do you understand? Don't tell me I can't get it done. It costs millions of dollars. We got 1, 2, 3, 4. We got 5 of these things. They're all over the place. You know why? It didn't make no difference. God didn't ask me to pay for it. He asked me to believe for it. When you understand to believe, you shall receive. Oh, Lord, I'm starting to preach a little bit here. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Personal faith. Personal faith. Let me say this. Write this down. Who we are is directly related to who our Father is. If you want to know who I am, I'm directly related to who my Father is. Religion is a dead-end street because it's based on tradition. Religion is nothing but a dead-end street based on religion. How many of y'all went to church and never learned anything? Hold your hand up. Be honest. Went to church all your life. Didn't learn a dadgum thing. Nothing. All you learned to do was to tell time. I hope that sucker hurry up. Lord Jesus. That's what and it's not being critical to the Catholic Church. I love being Catholic because it was 28 minutes and you was out the door. Lord Jesus, I like that. Hail Mary, full of grace. That's enough for me, baby. Let's go. I believe she's full of grace. I'm gone. Hallelujah. I went to confession and I was only forgiven for about a few minutes. He gave me absolution, but I only lasted a few minutes because I knew when I walked outside, I saw a pretty woman. What's up, baby? Hey, baby. Don't look at me weird. You did the same thing. That's when I was young. Crazy. It didn't last. You know why? Because it was based upon tradition. My Lord, religion based upon truth. Religion never helped anybody. People are dying today because of religion. You don't need no religion. You need a personal commitment and walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you need. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Let me say it again. Who we are is directly related to who our Father is. Religion is a dead end street because it's based on tradition. I refuse to be traditional. I'm going to believe the unbelievable and receive the impossible. How do you get it? Fall by it. And if you know what it is, you'll never get it. You can say what you want. I've been criticized by the best. You understand? I've had people lie about me, say everything they could about me. They don't like my money, and you ain't gonna never get any neither, bless God. I want to let you know that. But the people that did like my money were blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed going in, blessed going out. Everybody that's coming to church, your children don't have to pay for this building. Bless God, we all paid for it. It is debt free. Why don't you stomp a floor that's debt free? You want your floor to be debt free? Step on this one, glory to God. You want your furniture to be debt free? You're sitting on a debt free pew. Your butt is on a debt-free pew. You understand? We ain't got to receive an offer so you can sit down. We ain't worried about the lights or nothing. So you can say what you want. You know what did that? For by it. So if you mad at me, I don't care. It doesn't make a lick of difference. Oh, Lord Jesus. For by it. You don't know what it is, you ain't getting it. Good Lord, are we going to put this on television? Jesus, help me. I'm establishing your future by using something in the now. Now write this down. Faith is the element God uses to make you memorable. Faith is the element God uses to make you memorable. It is your history written in advance. Why do we remember certain people that did great things? Because they stepped out by faith to do it. When Orville and Wilbur Wright got out on that beach out there with that crazy looking plane, that was all by faith. We hope to God it works. They put their faith and hope together and they had such a love for their project, it flew. Now how did they get that? They watched birds. Birds fly without even thinking. It's normal. They move by just dropping a slight feather. Yet if you pluck one of the feather off of an eagle on his tail, he can't hardly land. See, it takes it all. Faith, hope, and love. It takes every bit of it, see. Faith makes you memorable. It's your personal history wrote in advance. Write that down. Get that in your mind. So when people attack faith, say, my God, you're just attacking you who you are. Don't you want somebody to remember you? See, every time I see my granddaughter, I'm telling her something that she got to believe by faith. And I remind her, what is grandfather going to do, Meredith, when you get as tall as your mommy? Boy, she tells me. I go, yeah, I'm building that strong in her. Why? Because it'll take her beyond my lifetime. Do you understand? It'll take, if Jesus tarry, she's going to live beyond my lifetime, my Lord. Yeah, but she's going to say, I had a grandfather who, bless God, told me this was going to happen. And if I would walk in this way and do what he said, that God would take care of me. Do you see that? I'm building this from generation to generation. Let me say it again. Faith is the element God uses to make you memorable. It is your history wrote in advance. Why? Why? Why does God use it to make you memorable? Faith makes you think, imagine, and dream. Write that down. Faith makes you think, imagine, and dream. And when you're doing that, it pushes out the clutter and streamlines the mind. That's what I love about faith. For by it, that it pushes out my clutter and streamlines the mind. What's the clutter? You can't do that. See those cameras there? Oh, you can't buy that, Jesse. Only big preachers can do that. Only ABC, CBS, or NBC. Do you know I had those before NBC did? Amen. Amen. But you see, my faith streamlined and shut, pushed the clutter out. Now my mind was saying, boy, just how you going to, this is millions of dollars, man. How you going to do this? How you going to, look at your bank account, look at your bank account. I wasn't denying my bank account. I was denying its right to stop me for what I wanted. Did you hear what I said? Stop me for what I wanted, not stop me for what I needed. I don't deal with need. I never asked God for a need. I ain't asked God for a need in years. Why? Because he said he supplied all my need according to riches and glory. What's the matter? You don't believe that? Oh, some of y'all faith is a little thin right there. So I don't ask him what I need. I tell him what I want. Oh, that's greed. No, that's growth. That's growth. That's growth. Some of you have told me you want to give $1 million this mission. You're going to do it. But you know, when you get, you already have given it. I know it. Bless God. I see Jesus. And when I'm, don't get mad at me if I don't get too excited when it manifests. Why? Because I know you already did it. I know the devil didn't tell you to do it. That was God speaking to you. Think about that, ladies and gentlemen. Let me just write this down so you can get this real good. I love this statement. I could preach an hour here. Faith makes you think. Oh, Lord. Imagine and dream. It pushes out the clutter and streamlines the mind. See, if you don't know what it is, you won't get it. Faith fuels the mind of Christ. I call it a mental uplift. It's a fixing of the soul. It fuels your future. Let me say it again. Faith fuels the mind of Christ. It's a mental uplift. It's a fixing of the soul. It fuels your future. My God, I'll have future today because of this it in me. And I've heard people say, oh, I've heard that message before. How come it's not working? That's your problem. You heard it. He didn't say faith come by heard. He said faith come by hearing. Here's a very, very thing you need to understand. Faith don't stack up. Faith cometh. Glory. Write that down. That'll help you. I've said it many times. Faith don't stack up. I don't care if you've been saved 40 years. You ain't got no 40 years of faith. You got 40 years of experience. You know why sometimes you get healed, sometimes you don't? You want to know why? Well, because God didn't do it. No, you used all the faith they have for that last sickness. And you didn't replenish it. Let me make somebody mad at me. Maybe you needed some faith, but you decided to go to the Saints game instead. Oh, I lost a few right there. Did you see that? Are you against the Saints? No. Why would I be against a Saint? I might be against a Seahawk, but I'm sorry. Pastor's from Seattle. See, now, don't take that to an extreme. Don't get under condemnation because there's therefore now what?
No condemnation.
What did it say? Now. Didn't he say now? Condemnation should never have a place to sit in your life because now should take up all the room in your life.
Amen.
See, now faith is, there's therefore now no condemnation. Do you see that? You see, but what happens is you may, oh Lord, how can I say that? You got to have faith for unexpected events. They liable to show up unexpected. That's why I say fuel up. That's why I come to church. Faith come by hearing. Don't come by heard. I'm not telling you not to go to the same. Please, don't take that out of context. What I'm saying is, that's why sometimes people don't receive, because they just thought it stacks up. Well, I've been saved 47 years. Why? Whoopee-doo. See, if you want something to work, it's got to be hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. Let me say it again. Faith fuels the mind of Christ. It's a mental uplift. It's a fixing of the soul. It fuels your future. My Lord, I could preach. God, man. Faith, I know I'm going fast. Faith gives you eyes inside. See, some of y'all are looking outside, but you ain't looking inside. You're blind as a bat on the inside. That's why some of you are criticizing this message right now. Why? Because you're blind as a bat on the inside. See? Now, I believe Bobby can see on the inside. He just needs to see on the outside. So he's in the right position to see on the outside. Why? See, I know he's got eyes on the inside because he's here this morning.
Amen.
To hear something that can change what's on the outside. Faith gives you eyes inside. It recognizes spiritual realities. Boy, it does. It tests spiritual realities. It substantiates spiritual realities. See, this thing is working. When faith is working, that's what it's doing. It is recognizing spiritual realities. It's testing spiritual realities. And it substantiates spiritual realities. That's why when you make me your source, God ties my hands. I've got some minister friends that I give to the ministry, and I have become their source. which was wrong. Not that I don't want to give to them. I believe in their work. Yeah, hey, I wouldn't have started giving to them if it wouldn't happen. But when the minute they make me God, God shuts it down. But you see, because that was a test that the faith, it recognized a spiritual reality. It tested that spiritual reality. Boy, if we lose Brother Jesse, we're in trouble. I know you ain't in trouble if you lose Brother Jesse. And it substantiates spiritual realities. Do you see that? You understand what I'm saying? That's why your eyes must always not be, your hands shouldn't always be out. They should be up. You don't put the pressure on the out, you put the pressure on the up. You put the pressure on the covenant of God. Let me say it again so you can write it down. My Lord Jesus. Faith gives you eyes inside. It recognizes spiritual realities. It tests spiritual realities. And it substantiates spiritual realities. See, I know when I need to tune up my faith. I don't do it the next day. Tomorrow I got enough trouble by itself. I'm just dealing with today. You understand what I'm saying? So now I'm going to stop right there and I want to go over some of these points so you can kind of look at some of your points. The power of personal faith is undeniable. It changes you. And everything around you. I could have preached an hour there. If it wouldn't be for faith, then relationship, hope, and love wouldn't exist. Nothing of true value would exist at all. You can't get what you need on your own. Remember me saying that a while ago? Your life and my life is made by revelation. I'm giving that to you right now. All you need is faith for today. Tomorrow has enough trouble for itself. Remember that? Okay. Who we are is directly related to who our Father is. Religion is a dead-end street because it's based on tradition. Okay, did I say it good enough? Are you kind of getting it? All right. Then I said this. Faith is the element God uses to make you memorable. It's your history written in advance. So we're believing God for a new aircraft. Do you need it? Look at me. No. No. I love the one I got. But my problem is I made a mistake. You ready for this? I got satisfied. I said, Lord, I've been from Sydney, Australia to Moscow, Russia in my own plane. I said, I don't need another plane. I argued with God. I said, thank you for blessing me. And then he told me a statement that just knocked me back in my seat. So you're going to let your faith stagnate. Whoa, what? No, Lord, I wasn't letting my faith. I don't need it. He said, did I say anything about need? See, he was talking about faith. Be careful when you get satisfied. I had to repent. I said, all right, Lord, forgive me. I want a Falcon 7X. Anywhere in the world, one stop. Ken, lift your hand up. Ken's going to fly. Sit in my hand right there. Hold it up there for me. Ken's going to fly. Where's Eli? Hey, Eli. Eli, he gonna fly. He gonna have to learn to land it, but he gonna fly. No, I'm just joking. We're giving Eli a hard time. Boy, he landed me the other night and I thought, Jesus, what was that? Look at him. I didn't pass the sight. He said, first time I ever landed. Can't do it. First time he ever landed in a very short strip. Well, he put it on the numbers. I like to went through the front glass, but he put it on the numbers. I told my mechanics, I said, check the tires. I gave him a hard time. He just got typewritten, so that's a blessing. Praise the Lord. You see, faith is the element that makes you memorable, Eli. Praise the Lord. I said this, faith makes you think. I didn't talk much about it, but boy, I could talk there. Imagine. I love it when my granddaughter imagines things. And dream. Dreams have no expiration dates. You can get them at 8 or 80. It doesn't make no difference. It pushes out the clutter. It streamlines the mind. See, that's where you live. You live in this. You live in your soul. That's where you're operating out of your soul. Then I said that faith fuels the mind of Christ. It's a mental uplift. Oh, I love that. Glory to God. It's a fixing of the soul, the mind, the will, the emotion. It fuels your future. Okay, did you get that? Then I said this, faith gives you eyes inside. It recognizes spiritual realities. Man, I love that. It tests those spiritual realities. And it substantiates spiritual realities. Okay, you got that? Now let me go on. Now you see how I should use more time. There's so much I could talk about that, but I'm giving you, I'm glazing it right here. Now write this down. Faith makes your life a living testament to God's power. Whew, for by it, because if you don't know what it is, you'll never get it. Faith makes your life a living testament to God's power. Now, why does it do that? I love this. It makes you, it changes you by making you much more interested in doing what you said. It makes you do what you said. And it makes it interesting at the same time. Let me say it again. Faith makes your life a living testament to God's power. It changes you by making you much more interested in doing what you said. You ever notice I'm always telling you what I'm going to do? I'm very interested in what I'm going to do. What keeps me charged up, well, I'm not depressed and downbeat, is the faith of God in me. It makes me very interesting in what I said. Do you see that? That's a powerful statement. In other words, what it does, it doesn't leave any room for depression in any way, shape, or form. You begin to look at yourself the way God looks at you. That's what Mark Hanker was talking about the other day, by being in Christ. You see, it makes you look at yourself the way God's looking at you. Let me say it again. Faith makes your life a living testament to God's power. It changes you by making you much more interested in doing what you said. Now, I'm going to use this building as an example. Let me give you one more point. You were never created to put something as powerful as your faith in something as temporal as money. Matthew 16:26. For what is a man profit if he gain the whole world, lose his own soul? Now, and then I'm going to go into this in just a minute. Let me say it again. You were never created to put something as powerful as your faith in something as temporal as money. Now, before I said it, faith makes your life a living testament to God's power. It changes you by making you much more interested in doing what you say. TV people, don't freak out. I may walk out the lights. I'll show you something. Let me get over here. Can y'all still see me? And if not, you don't watching the, when we do the DVD or whatever, it's not nothing wrong with the cameras. I'm just getting out the light. Stand right here. I want everybody to look at the corner over here. See the corner of the building, okay? Now, that's a pretty far distance, okay? Now, everybody look at me again and look at the corner all the way over here. If you notice between these two corners, there is no support beams. At the time that this building was built, which was being built in 1999, I think it was, oh, 90, yeah, 99, 98, and we came here in 2000. I did not want any center posts. According to architects, I should have a center post about where that lady is with the red blouse on right here. Boom. Now, let me show you what I mean by a center post. You see that? See that up there, how iconic, that beam that cuts and goes this way? Okay, we were supposed to have a post here, a post here to hold a weight, because there is tons of weight on top of you right now. Now, when they drew the plans, the architect, the engineer, they drew this, and at this time, I don't know, by the year 2000, this was the longest span in any building in New Orleans without a support beam. Okay? Well, what happened was, the more that the architect looked at it, the more he realized he couldn't do that. Now, he doesn't tell me until they got to do it. Now, let me say my point again. Faith makes your life a living testament to God's power. It changes you by making you much more interested in doing what you said. Now, I said that for this. I told him I did not want any support beam so there would not be anything blocking your view, whether I'm on the floor or whoever's on the floor or pastor on the platform, so you could see. Okay? All right. Now, I want you to remember that. And I told you this, you were never created to put something as powerful as your faith in something as temporal as money. For what does a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? Now watch this. Now those beams cost a lot of money. So let me get back where I'm at. I come walking in from the back. There's no ceiling tile. None of this is here. And I'm standing right here. And the architect and the contractor comes up to me. I had just got out the plane. I had been preaching. I came in. I said, how's everything going? We got a problem, Reverend. I said, what's the problem? Well, we're going to have to put some center beams in here for the support the weight. I said, no, I don't want that. Look at the plans. But my engineer says that I missed it there. I said, well, we don't believe in missing. I said, my money didn't miss, did it? Didn't it hit your pocket? Boom, boom. It didn't miss, did it? Don't pee down my back and tell me it's raining. You got the revelation now? Did you get that? Look at Kathy. Oh, Jesus, I can't believe you said. This is my church. Now you got it. Now you got it. So you're going to remember it from now on now. I knew some of y'all wasn't getting it. Y'all going, how do I make this a revelation? You got it right there. He said, well, we're just going to have to. And the Lord spoke to me. Standing. Watch this, Judah. Standing right there. He said, I've given the answer to a person. Right here. Standing right here. Now, the architect, the contractor, there was some people, some sheetrock people here. There was some roofers, all kinds of stuff. I said, stop, everybody. I said, the Lord said someone has the answer. Right here. Now, everybody thought, I done lost my mind. They're just looking around like that. I said, everybody grab hands. And this one guy said, oh, let me put my cigarette down here. Right here. So I grab his hand. I mean, we got a circle here now. All right here. Okay. I said, now when I pray, God's going to tell somebody exactly what to do. Now in my mind, Richie, I think he's going to tell the engineer. He's going to tell the architect. Richie's a contractor. He's the one who built my home. I mean, you just got to know this stuff. So I went like this. I went, Jesus. And you could feel the shake go all the way around the circle. There were some guys making a sign of the cross with the elbow. Oh, God, man, I'm in church here. Jesus. Lord, I don't want these beams blocking people's vision. Now, he said, this poor guy was just like, he said he drew it, but that he was wrong. But Lord, evidently you made him draw it because you didn't want him neither. Now, Lord, tell us what to do in Jesus' name. Amen. I said, drop your hands. I said, now, what did he say? That's exactly what I did. Watch, I'm doing this. What did he say? Architect said, he ain't never talked to me once. Now I have made a construction project something very spiritual. I said, what did he say? God just spoke to somebody in this building. Everybody get quiet. Just like that. I looked at my contractor, Ray Cron. He said, he ain't said nothing to me neither. I said, who did he talk to? And this guy, who's a sheetrock guy, with a busted t-shirt, busted shorts, he said, oh, can I say something? I saw his boss look at him like, shut up, fool. You can see that on the face. Shut up, fool. You don't, go plaster some sheetrock somewhere. You don't know nothing about this. He said, y'all ever thought about doing this and this? Stand right here, watch. Watch me. If you can't see me in behind, look at the screen. The engineer goes. The architect goes. That'll work. That's right. I said, young man, the Lord just spoke you. He said, he did. I said, yeah. Yeah, he did. He went, wow, man. Let me get my cigarette back here. The engineer freaks out. The architect freaks out. And for by faith, there's not a support beam in here at all. And it's stable. Strong. Do you see that? I didn't need to put my faith in some money to buy some beams. It's just a waste. Let me say it again. You were never created with something as powerful as your faith and something as simple as money. My Lord, I just wanted this. So I put it in faith. And God took a guy that wasn't born again. He does talk to sinners. That's how you got here.
Amen.
Most sinners will talk to God. Most Christians won't. And we have this building. I mean, safe. I just might tell you, if we took out the ceiling tile, there's 20 foot above that ceiling up there. If you want to know how high that ceiling is when you walk out, look up at the top, where the cross is. No, the cross, you keep going. The ceiling keeps going up. And it's all hooked on some kind of a thing. I don't know what it is. Buddy, when they put that thing in there, he said, the only way that's going to fall down is if God knock it down. And he ain't going to knock his house down. That's the guy. He didn't know what else to say. That's all he could say. You know? And I look at it, boy, I said, young man, I tell you what. I said, you got a future. Yeah. He said, you know, I felt something. I said, my God, if you can hear God, you don't know God. Just think about how much you can hear him if you know him. He did look at me here. What shall I do? I said, why don't you get born again? Can I pray with you? Yes, sir. I prayed with him. That boy got born again right over there. It touched him. It helped him. He helped us. You follow what I'm saying? So I don't put my faith in how much money I got. That's such a weight. For what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his soul? All it's got, let me tell you something about your money. All that's got to happen is a shakeup on Wall Street. All that's got to happen is Russia and China and everyone else that has prompted up the dollar, buying dollars, start selling. The dollar goes to nothing. Every bit of money you got in your account is worth nothing. That's what happened to Germany. That's why Hitler could get into power. Do you know how much, you have no concept how much inflation went in Germany before Hitler took power? 200,000%. You could pay your house off with an egg. The price of an egg. That's impossible. No. Oh, that could never happen again. Germany was one of the most intellectual countries in the world. And how could a country that's so intellectual, so smart, let the Nazis take over and do what they did? There's something greater than a person thinking. There's a demon and a devil controlling. Do you see that? And most of his ideas came from the Bible. 1,000-year reign. That's the millennial kingdom. You go look at Hitler stuff. Oh, you know where he got to kill the Jews? Martin Luther. I loved the Jews at one time. You would read his writings. Tried to get them saved. They wouldn't accept salvation. He got so mad because they wouldn't get saved. He said, why don't you burn them and skin them? Pull the skin off them, burn them, destroy everything they got. And Hitler read that. And with a demon-possessed mind, how do you take 1.6 million babies and throw them on top of a fire? Because they're rats. And an intellectual nation like Germany believed that. But not everybody in Germany. So you just because somebody's German don't mean they did wrong. And a lot of people died to stop Hitler. And you know what his end result was? He killed himself. He's so coward he couldn't face anything. See what I'm saying? Now let me deal with this. How many of y'all want to profit financially? Good. If you really want to profit financially, focus on faith. It's better to be blessed than rich. Now, let me say this. Watch this. If you want to really profit financially, focus on faith. It's better to be blessed than rich. But why choose when you can have both? Look at me. I'm going to shock you. I'm blessed and I am rich. I didn't make a choice. Why choose? Why should I have to choose? I don't have to choose. How do I know that? Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. And he added no sorrow. So why would you choose? See, there's some people, they don't want God at all. They just want to get rich. Why choose when you can have both? The blessing of the Lord, Proverbs 10:22. It maketh rich and he added no sorrow. How many rich people are in depression? Got more therapists than you can shake a stick at. Because they got sorrow in their riches. They may be living high on the hog. I mean, everybody thinks Hollywood's so great. They can't keep a marriage together hardly. They're so blind. They hate guns and make the most violent movies. They're so blind. I talk about ignorance going on the seed. But they think we weird because we believe in morality. See, the reason why they hate it, because it exposes just how immoral they have become. Are you against Hollywood? No, I ain't against. I'm against the devil. I'm not against actors. I'm not against anybody. I'm against the devil that's motivating people. I mean, how can you say the people shouldn't have guns and you make the most violent movies? And all the money you ever got was made upon Kill Bill. That's the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. How can you say God doesn't exist and be a theoretical physicist and make me believe in something, trying to get me to believe in something called dark matter and dark energy? Of course, you can't see it. It's not there, but we know it is. And now, in the last 2 years, they got to throw away every book they've ever did. It's all wrong because a supernova used to supposed to destroy everything. Come to find out, it didn't. We were wrong. But there is no God. Because that planet Earth is in the Goldilocks zone. And what happened was it was once hit by the asteroid belt, then the Kuiper belt, which is further out in space, threw some rocks in there and all that kind of stuff. It's just perfect. And we don't know why it's perfect. Somebody been peeing down your back, boy. Y'all got that revelation there again, didn't you? Am I shaking people up? Did I shake you up, Pastor? Yo, you all right? Okay. He goes, oh, Jesus. You see what I'm saying? You know, I believe in theoretical physics. I mean, I have no problem with scientists because I find God's word and science go together very well, especially with a spiritual mind. Don't tell me man can't do some things. You carrying more in your phone right now than the Library of Congress in your phone. If I want to know something, I just tell Kathy to Google something. Why don't you carry a phone? I have a wife. She gets so mad at me. I don't carry a phone. I don't carry a cell phone. I don't carry anything. I want to talk to you. Stand up, Mary. That's who you talk to right there. She's my executive secretary. Yeah. Why? She needs a job. Now, not that it's hard to get to me. Just I don't have time for all that. See, my mind is focused on faith to build vision, to build future, to go where no man has gone before, to live long and prosper. Because there really isn't no science fiction. It is until we prove it. It's amazing how much people will tell you to believe using faith and don't even realize that they're using faith. Let me say it again. You were never created to put something as powerful as your faith in something as triple as money. If you want to really profit financially, focus on faith. It's better to be blessed than rich. But why choose when you can have both? Now, I said this earlier. If you don't like what you see, change it. Well, how do we do that? Romans 4:17. He calleth those things which be not as though they were. Not tomorrow. Today. Because faith, tomorrow got enough trouble by itself. So you deal with faith today. Now faith is. If you don't like what you see, you change it. How do you change it? By calling those things that be not as though they were. Now, theoretical physicists will say that's wrong. Religion will say that's wrong. Jesus says it's right. Now, either you lying or God's lying, I pick you. Isn't that amazing? So, the reason why people get angry at me because of my prosperity, and they don't even realize it, is because my faith worked. But I have to keep working it, Janie. See, I have to keep hearing. I can never become stagnant. Never. Never. Because see, that's backing up. You're running on a religious treadmill. You are running hard, but you ain't going nowhere. That's religion. They'll run you till you drop. But you ain't made one step toward your future. Isn't that amazing? And you can be surrounded with the greatest treasures of the planet Earth and call poverty a blessing. Is that ignorance? Call it holy poverty. What's holy about poverty? Go down to the New Orleans Mission and see if they think it's holy. Oh, when it gets to freezing, why give them a bed? Just shiver. How ignorant can that be? How silly can that be? And yet, most of religion believes that. Or Satan sowed that seed deep. Why? Because Satan don't want to be poor. And neither does Hollywood. You ever notice all these really wealthy people? I want to pay more taxes after they make theirs. They don't want to say that while they're making it. But now that they got it and it's so much they ain't going to go broke, well, yeah, I'll pay more taxes. How ignorant can that be? A man asked me the other day, why don't you believe in socialism? I said, because God don't believe in it. He's got different degrees. He's got angels, cherubims, seraphims. It's all different degrees, buddy. Now, what made a cherubim a cherubim? What made a seraphim a seraphim? They had to do something. And well, you know, get into the mind of God here. You see, something was different. Something. Everybody's in the army, but there's four-star generals there. And there's also a buck private. But a buck private can become a four-star general. He got to go to OCS. He's got to work the system. Now, let me say this and close. I got a little bit more time. Can I speak a little bit more? All right. Fall by it. See? How do I say this? Glory to God. Without getting too radical. To stay rich, you got to quit focusing on what you got. And start focusing on what you want. Tell you something about rich. There's no gamble in it if God's in it, because the blessing of the Lord maketh rich. Now, my partners bless our ministry. But it's my responsibility and obligation to believe with them for their 30, 60, 100-fold and 1,000 time. I pray it every day. How many of you are partners to my ministry? I pray it every day. I call you into remembrance to God. Oh, God, look what these people have done. Not that he needs to be remembered, but he likes you to tell him what he said. Don't you do the same thing with your children? Tell me what I said. You got it now, didn't you? Just got that. See that? You thought I was going off in left field. No, no. Tell me what I said. Ooh. See, because God is acting, you acting a lot like God with your children and not even realizing it. See what I'm saying? So I don't focus now on wealth as far as that's concerned. I focus on the blessing. Because I don't have to choose. It just makes you rich. Now, the difference between me and most preachers is I will say it. Most will hide it. And they think I'm bragging. I ain't bragging. I'm giving God glory. Well, I heard you was rich. You heard right. They can't handle it. Go, but it's amazing if you, the waiters and the waitresses, when I go into certain restaurants, they all ask for me. We went into a certain restaurant yesterday. There were people sitting outside, standing out. We walked in. Why? We didn't make no reservation. And we were willing to wait because we ain't no better than nobody else. But now I got several of these waiters and waitresses. They said, look, when you come in, ask for my section. Why is that? You know what they say? Because you know how to treat people. I walked in. I had to go park my vehicle. I parked my vehicle. And I'm telling these people outside, I got to walk around several people. You know, I open up the door and I start looking for Kathy. And she said, she's over here. And as I walked back, I saw people going. And I would sit on. She says, Jesse, we have the favor of God. You see, we didn't take it upon us like, I tipped these people real well. They know who I am. No, that's stupid. I didn't mind waiting. That ain't the issue. I'm no better than nobody else. But Kathy said it. It blessed me when she said it. We gave God glory for getting a table. I give God glory when I get a good parking space. Especially around Christmas, because I got to carry them bags to the car. Kathy got me running like a slave, boy. I'll be spending this year 44 Christmases with Kathy. 44 years. And, you know, 12 years a slave. I've been 44 years a slave on them bags. 44 years. I just keep bringing it. People go, how you doing, Brother Jesse? Working. We're doing fine. Sometimes I say, is she going to run out of money? He said, no, she never will. Oh, Jesus. Okay. We gave God glory for something that most people wouldn't even think about. I didn't pay for the table. Did you tip that person? Yeah. More than 20%? Yeah. Kathy watches my tips all the time. She gets a little nervous sometimes. She goes, Jesse, do you know how much the bill is? Yeah. Ooh, Jesse. I said, everybody got to make a living, Kathy. Well, do you need some smaller bills? No. She's a little tight. She's just a little tight. I give her a hug. Look at you. I'll kill you. I'm cruel. Right? I'm a cruel. Let me make the sign of the cross before I die today. And she thought I had gotten, this didn't happen. Yes, this happened last week. She thought I'd given the tip. She was kind of thinking, whoa, she's looking at the tip. All of a sudden, she just reaches in her purse, takes out $100 and gives it to the person. The Lord just told me to bless you. Now, I wonder what she'd have felt like. And that person felt like, went, how much is that bill? Listen, I got one a little smaller. Let me help you out here. No, I didn't mind. I didn't care. It don't make no difference. Why? Giving God glory. I've had him come up with, what do you do? I said, I'm a preacher. A preacher? I said, yes. Aren't you glad? Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Kathy decided she wanted to put a table in the speaker room. So she says, come with me. I want to go to this place. So we go to this place. We're walking around. Waiting for the movie to start. We was about an hour and a half, something like that. She sees what she likes. She said, this is what we want. I said, okay, get the guy. He looks at me. Kathy's already cutting the deal. You know, we Jewish. You know what I'm saying? We believe in negotiation. I'm not really Jewish by blood, but I am by spirit. Praise God. So, you know, we make the thing, and he looks at me and he says, what do you do? I said, I'm a minister. I also am a motivational speaker. I speak to major corporations, multi-billionaire corporations, and as well as preaching in churches. And they're like, boy, you look so happy. I said, I am. Then he started telling me his story. He said, you know, I used to, blah, 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 I'm going to keep his name. But make a long story short. He said, man, I said, so you own this place? Yeah. He said, and I don't own a tie no more. I wore ties and suits. Somebody, I didn't have enough. I said, you happy? I said, yeah. I said, let me tell you something about money. Money will not make you happy. It just makes you comfortable while you're miserable. Did you get that? But it will not make you happy. But it does make you comfortable while you're miserable. So if you got a job and you like it and you enjoy it, stick with it. Amen. Because I'm going to tell you something. It don't get no better in life in having a job and you're happy with it. Amen. You follow what I'm saying? I'm telling you. But if money driving you, money is a Judas. It will betray you. But if you like your job and you do a good job, you'll grow. You'll make more money. Everything will be fine because you're happy. That's a wonderful thing to be happy. You follow what I'm saying? Don't chase the dollar. Let the dollar chase you. I ain't looking for money. Money looking for me. Now, what time is it? Let me hurry real quick. Glory to God. Faith in God's mind is a protector of who you are. When some of you have got my partner letter, and I'm preaching some of this partner letter here. You got it before I had a chance to preach this to you. But me and Jody, my daughter, she's way in the back. Jody, do this so everybody can see her. She's way back there. And she comes with, helps me on my partner letter, you know, for punctuation and sentences, structure and all that kind of stuff. And I put a point in there. Faith in God's mind is a protector of who you are. Ephesians 6, verses 11 through 17 says, put on the whole armor of God. I want you to understand this. The word calls faith a shield. Why do we need a shield? It's an arrow deflector. The clothes you wear are designed to protect your whole body. You put the whole armor of God on. Jody came up with something that I thought was really wonderful, and we put it in the partner letter too. God says to put on the whole armor. If you take it off, you're not fully clothed or protected. See, there's some part. Put on the whole armor of God. The helmet of salvation. Look at me when I say this. The breastplate of righteousness. The shield of faith. Your loins girded about with truth. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Did you get that? Some of those, if you go out, it tells you to put on. And some it tells you to take. I like that. Now, the taking part, you take the shield of faith and you take the word of God. Why? They're made for defense. One is for defense and one is for offense. Shield is for defense. Word, sword of the spirit is for offense. See, some you're told to put on, others you're told to put on, others you're told to take. Then there's one that you're told to put on and take. If you go look, read that scripture, which means there's somebody going to attack you if God is telling you to put on the armor of God. Now, there are a lot of people walking around with just a helmet and they're naked from the neck down. Getting their butt kicked every 5 minutes. And some preacher told them God told that. That's just the way it is. That's not true. You see, if you put on the whole armor of God, the devil don't know it's you. He thinks you God because you got the helmet on, not the cap. Did you hear about that French president riding around with his mistress with his full face helmet on? Did you hear about that? Anybody heard that? Hold your hand up. You know what I'm talking about? The news. Ain't that something like as if that's going to hide away, hide from the paparazzi. But he had him another woman on the back of the motorcycle. And he had a full face helmet on. I'll tell you something about a wife. She can see through plastic. She gonna find out, boy. You got trouble coming, you understand? Let me say it again. Faith in God's mind is a protector of who you are. That's Ephesians 6, verse 11 through 17. The word calls faith a shield. It's an arrow deflector. The clothes you wear are designed to protect your whole body. So your loins are girded about with truth, your chest covered with righteousness, your feet covered with peace. This is what you put on. Okay? Truth, righteousness, peace. Loins, see? Now watch this. We're not told to put on the word or put on our faith in God. These two we are told to take. One of these weapons is to attack and one is to defend. Now, why the helmet of salvation? Only salvation do we both take and put on. That's when you're born again. You believe with your heart, you confess with your mouth that Jesus rose from the dead. That's the very top. See, you're told to put that on and take it. You put on your helmet every day. You wrap it around your head. Why? The reason the helmet is on your head is to remind your mind of who you are. See, salvation reminds your mind of who you are. And the Bible says, give honor where honor due. That came out of Jody's mind. I said, Jody, I like that. Glory to God. She said, hallelujah. Glory to God. It was good. You see, that's what's called being in Christ. You have the mind of Christ. So the helmet protects how you think and reminds you of who you are. That's why people think I'm bragging about some of the things I have when I'm actually reminding them of how good God is.
Amen.
I ain't showing off. I'm actually a very private person. But God changed me when I got born again. You would have never found out what I had until I got born again. God said, I want you to tell people. I said, they're going to get mad. They're going to get jealous. You know, I don't need that kind of hassle. He said, Jesse, some people can't believe by faith. So I got to show them something till they get to the point where their ears are greater than their eyes. Now, I want you to show that. When he told me to build my house, he said, I'm going to use this thing. And it's going to aggravate some people. I said, well, that's easy for you to say, God. They can't see you. They see me. But I'm going to give them something to see. But I notice the things are beginning to change. That doesn't mean attacks hadn't stopped, but things are beginning to change. People begin to say, oh, Lord, something must be working right.
Amen.
Something must be working right. You see what I'm saying? I would prefer not to tell you that I have my own plane. I mean, not that I'm trying to hide it. Just go get on the thing and go. But the Lord will make me say that at the worst opportune time. Or is it an opportune time? Why? To increase people, to make them think, get out the rut of stagnation.
Amen.
This is not an American way of thinking. Now, I know I'm preaching long here. This is a God way of thinking. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, I could preach several. I just kind of gave an overview of what we're going here. So that's what I'm saying. When you understand, why is he always thinking? My helmet is constantly reminding me of who I am and reminding me who God is. So if you want to attack me, I'm like Gerard Butler on the 300. I got my shield. I got my sword. One is for attack. Others is to defend. I take those. But the reason why I know I'm solid, because my loins are girded. I put on my loins with truth. You know, it's truth. Why did God use loins? Why do you call them private parts? You ever wonder why? It's a part. Why is it private? Why aren't your elbow private? Nose. Why that? Because that's where life is created.
Amen.
And life is holy.
Amen.
And should never be abused. And should be respected greatly. So he says, gird your life with truth, not pornography. Truth. I'm Jesse Duplantis, and I approve this message.